blessing?
I think you want to go
back. If you had a gun, you'd like
to...
where, I don't know. But Paul's just got his... He's got some blinders or something going on. Okay? And, man, the greatest Christian who ever lived, we're going to have to say that for him. Where a lot of people, a lot of us got blinders about things. And that's just how things go. And so what we do, if the Lord tells us to say something, we say it. If the Lord says, just pray about it, and I'll work on them, and sometimes they're just going to do it. And it's not a sin for him to go to Jerusalem. It's just going to be a little bit waste of time. But even in that process of wasting some time, God's still with him. And God's still using him. So verse 14, and when he would not be persuaded, okay, persuading, that is the method for the New Testament. Okay, persuasion, the art of persuasion, using words to persuade people to believe something, to accept something. Okay, where in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, as far as encouraging believers to serve the Lord, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. So that's what the Lord has, the method the Lord has used for us in the New Testament. And even if you get your so-called message down perfectly, and it's so good that when E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens, and if you all listen, it still doesn't mean a person's going to accept it. Some soul-winning techniques people have, they think that they can gimmick people to Christ. I remember, the gimmicks. You know, if you can't get them to do anything, just bow your head and start praying. And when you're praying, witness to them. You're not going to trick somebody to accept Jesus Christ. They have to accept him free of their own free accord. And I find it kind of interesting. The ones in the Bible, when they witness to somebody, they didn't draw the net. They didn't say, would you pray with me? Would you do this? No, that person is the one who made the response. Instead of us twisting their hand, putting their hand behind their back, and if you don't do this, and I'm going to, all that stuff. No, they just have to, of their free will, come to Christ. And so, the soul-winning techniques that a lot of them have nowadays, it's nothing but an insurance program, getting a guy to sign a dotted line. And we're the big heroes saving this soul from a big bad God who's going to throw them into hell. No, they're going to go to hell of their own accord. And God's the hero in the thing. But that's how things go. So, let's see... So what do they do? Verse 14, and when he would not be persuaded, we ceased. Just leave it go. Just stop. Saying, the will of the Lord be done. And that's what we do. And after those days, we took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem. Okay, carriages, we might think that's a funny word, but that's carry-on luggage, carry-on baggage. Speak, Lord, the servant here. Verse 16, there went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them one, what is that, Manon-son, whatever, of Cyprus, an old disciple with whom we should lodge. And that's a blessing, an old disciple. It's a blessing to see older folks that stay faithful to the Lord. The churches nowadays, especially these contemporary ones, they want the youth. I would much rather hear a quiet old man preach the book just straight up and plain. I don't care if he's lost all his zeal, just as long as he's got a little gumption to him. Got a lot of wisdom. You can get a lot of wisdom in that short amount of time than somebody running back and forth with all this zeal in the world. Just a quiet or just somebody that's been faithful to the task of God is a great blessing. The old disciples. Okay, and it says, and when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. So praise the Lord, he's dealing with the Gentiles, even though he's still wanting to get back to them Jews. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord. Praise the Lord, good news. And said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe. Now, what do they believe? And they are all zealous of the law. So, I don't know. They are informed of thee, that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. Now, to forsake Moses, meaning the customs, that's okay. That's the ceremonial aspect. Now, if they're saying to forsake Moses, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not do no murder or stuff like that, thou shalt not steal, that's a different ballgame. Okay, the ceremonial, the civil, and the moral aspects of the law. Okay, and a lot of times people don't see that there are adjustments we need to make. And when we make adjustments, that doesn't mean we're dumping the whole thing. Okay, and there's adjustments to be made. Okay, on a farm, we have a planter, we got a cultivator. Okay, a cultivator is an implement that, you know, you got about that many inches to try to keep it from wiping out the corn, and you're coming between the rows, and you're using a big hoe to get the weeds out. Okay, and if the shovels are too far this way or one's too far this way, you got to make adjustments. Slide it over this way. Maybe tighten something down here. Now, when we make little adjustments, we're not rejecting the cultivator. We're making adjustments. And so we're making adjustments to the Mosaic covenant. We're not rejecting all of the covenant. We're saying the ceremonial aspect, obviously not. Okay, and the Sabbath is obviously between God and the Jews. But what some people do is they often overreact. Okay, and so they got to give people time to explain things. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it is folly and shame unto them. And the thing is, sit back and listen. I mean, if you go to a court setting and you hear the defense and the prosecuting, if you hear just one side of the coin, you're going to think, okay, well, that guy's guilty. And then the other guy gets up and says, oh, I never thought of that. Well, I never thought of that. Well, I never thought of that. Oh, when you hear both sides of the coin, you got to really reason the things out. And so God wants us to sit back and listen and get the whole picture before we draw a conclusion. These people are jumping to it. We're zealous of the law. Well, good, I'm happy for you. Okay, how about this and how about that? You need to consider this. Well, I never considered that. So the part that they're going to, shall we say, set aside are the customs. Verse 21. The customs. How about the clothing? How about no crossing of the seeds? You know, I always get a chuckle out of these young people at like Purdue or something. They go to the Deuteronomy and say, you don't follow the Bible. Have you ever considered that's written to Jews? I'm not a Jew. And they think they really got you over a barrel about something very difficult like that. They go into Deuteronomy 22, 23 and all those things and talks about, you know, you can't have polyester and cotton in your Old Testament doctrine. You know, and the dietary laws, those things like that in the Old Testament. And so the customs is the key. If we go backwards to what Stephen brought up back in Acts chapter 6, verse 14. Acts 6:14. Here's what the ones that are jumping to conclusions saying in verse 13 have set up false witnesses which said this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against his holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered unto us. See, not thou shalt not kill. You can't go out killing somebody. I mean, as far as the law goes. It's the customs that are changing. Okay, so that's 21, verse 22. It says, what is it therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come. 23, do therefore this, that we may say to thee, we have four men which have a vow on them, them take and purify thyself with them. Purify, that's the customs. Old Testament customs. He's really not, he's wasting time following this stuff. But it's hard to, I mean, it's hard to work some of these old things of our religious background out of ourselves. It's hard to work that thing through. Okay, you got to give some time in those things. Them take and purify thyself with them and be at charges with them that they may shave their heads and all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning thee are nothing, but that thou thyself also walkest orderly and keepest the law. Well, it depends what part you're talking about. As touching the Gentiles which believe, we have written and concluded. Okay, this conclusion is a result of Acts 15. We have written and concluded, Acts 15, that they observe no such thing save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols, idolatry, because unclean spirits draw to idols like magnets, so they're inviting unclean spirits, and from blood, drinking of blood, not just animals, but people. Behind the scenes, this stuff goes on. Many high political figures are still involved, always involved in this stuff. From blood and from strangled and from fornication. Those are the four that were mentioned in Acts 15. And all of those, idols, blood, strangled, fornication, maybe not strangled, but idols, blood, and fornication, all invite unclean spirits. And it gets a person infested. That's the behind the things spiritual aspect here. Now the blood aspect, you know, never been there, thank God. But Sneblin will tell you that drinking blood is more addictive than cocaine, which I don't know about that cocaine either, but and it's pretty bad and it sounds gross to the average person, but when these people get on their spirits, they are drawn to this stuff. So that's 25, 26. Then Paul took the men, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple, Jewish temple, to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification, Old Testament doctrine, customs, water of purification, until that an offering should be offered for every one of them. Waste of time. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him. Now we're going to get some action. Okay, crying out, men of Israel, help, this is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people. Oh, that sounds familiar. That's an interesting study throughout the Bible. The people, the people. Dishonest Abe, we the people, the people, the people. Okay, yeah, they're always talking about the people, and what their mindset is that the people are so dumb that they need us, the great leaders, to be their leader. You know, that's the mindset of Hillary and Bernie and the Republicrats. Oh, we're so fortunate to have these master, intelligent people to help us ignoramuses to be able to live. And they don't care for us. Okay, and neither do these Jews that are stirring up the people. They don't care for them. He says, crying out, men of Israel, help. This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people. All men, one guy, boy, he's pretty active. A little exaggeration going on here, but Paul is pretty active. And the law, and this place. And further, brought Gentiles also into the temple and hath polluted this holy place. Or brought Greeks into this place. Racial bigotry. You know, that's what's going on. Boy, then, you know, all that stuff. And then in the parentheses, for they had seen before with him in the city of Trophimus and Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together. Okay, the people. There's the people following the authorities without thinking. And the ones who are thinking just leave and say, there they go again. And they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him, Paul is probably saying, let's hope so. I'm out of here. And they went about to kill him. Tidings came unto the chief captain of the band, to all of Jerusalem was an uproar. No, it wasn't, just that area. Everybody else was just doing their thing. You know, a lot of times, the world is, so-and-so died, the world isn't, no, they're not. 99% of the world didn't even know the guy existed. What's everybody else doing? They're just going to work, just like everybody else. Oh, the world is excited, Denver won the football game. Who cares? The world don't even care. You know, people in Vietnam, they didn't know existed. You know, they're trying to make something bigger than it is. It's really, they had an earthquake down there. Yeah, we didn't know it, except for the news media told us. A lot of things going on throughout the world. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain. The whole city is in an uproar, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating of Paul. Assault and battery. Now, what should they do, the authorities? Arrest the ones beating him. But they're not going to do that. Because the Jews are in cahoots with the authorities. Okay, let's see, 33. Then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains and demanded who he was and what he had done. What he had done. Just talking. And some cried one thing and some another among the multitude. And when he could not know the certainty for the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. Okay, that word certainty, that's a legal decree. That's the words that you use for an affidavit. It's a first-hand knowledge, a certainty of something. And you'll see this often thrown in the Bible. And when he came upon the stairs, so it was that he was borne of the soldiers, carried for the violence of the people. Who stirred up the people? The Jews back over there in verse 27. That's the instigators. And the instigators always get off scot-free. Why? Because they're in cahoots with the Roman authorities. For the multitude of the people followed after, crying away with them. And as Paul was to be led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, may I speak unto thee? Who said, canst thou speak Greek? Art not thou that Egyptian? So Paul must have, I don't know, he didn't look like a Jew all the way. Mistaken him for an Egyptian. And Paul will tell him, I'm a Jew. Art not thou that Egyptian which before these days made us an uproar? Unless the guy didn't know what he looked like. It's all here he is again. And led us out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers. No, I'm not that guy. And Paul said, I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people. Suffer me, put up with me. Let me say something. I'll talk to them. I'll speak for myself. I don't want an attorney. I'll talk for myself. Now, the word citizen there is similar, as in Ephesians 2, okay, but the deception that's being pushed on the American people is, are you a U.S. citizen? No, I'm not. Because that's a counterfeit. Okay, U.S. is a corporation, citizen of a corporation. It's a lower echelon thing. No, I'm a member of the original body politic. You know, it's a kind of a tongue-in-cheek. It's a deceptive thing that's used by political officials. In Paul's case, he was a free-born Jew. And he uses that back in Acts 16. So he knows Roman law. He knows it well enough to scare these guys, because when they violate the law, he calls them on the carpet. And he uses it for the benefit of the gospel, and that's what we should use it for. 40, and when he had given him license, okay, license is a term for a license is a temporary approval of. A license is the approval to do something that normally is illegal. Okay, that's what a license is. It's paying a fee for something. It's fraud is what it is. But in this case, he's just saying, give me the permission. It's permission to speak. Okay, people say driving is a privilege. Yeah, that's true, but traveling is a right. And there's two separate things. Traveling is going from place to place in your conveyance where you're not hiring anybody. Driving is hiring a motor vehicle for hire. That's a whole different thing. And it's terms that are used, okay? And it's used to trick people. But in this case, he's given him license, he's given him permission. Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with a hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying, okay, and then the next chapter. Okay, so what was the language he spoke in? Hebrew. And what are we told that the famous originals were written in? In the New Testament? Greek. So if he spoke it in Hebrew, but it was written in Greek, what M that be? That's a translation. And it be inspired. And now we got it in English. So when you happen to deal with one of these guys saying translations aren't inspired, just bring that thought to mind. It's a great blessing. It's a great blessing. We got a perfect translation. Inspired of God. Okay, so that's chapter 21. I went a little longer than normal, but any questions or comments? Are we covered?